Hi, this is Martha Norwalk with Animal World's fall and winter tips for you and your animal friends. With the obvious change in our weather, getting colder and wetter, there are several things that pop into my mind that are important for you to think about related to your animal companions. The first is house training. There can be related problems at this time of year with both dogs and cats. Let's start with dogs. Many do not like to go outside in the rain or when it's cold. And do you really blame them? We don't like it much either. The biggest problem is usually the small breeds, younger pups and older dogs, particularly the spoiled and lazy models. But weather-sensitive dogs can be any breed, small or large, and they can even be created by their owners. Remember, dogs are monkey-see, monkey-doers, and they tend to copy our behavior. So if you're raising and educating a puppy in the house training department, most of you probably don't mind going outside with the pup to supervise and praise the good behavior when the weather is nice. But when the weather's bad, most of you are either very unhappy during the outing, or you don't go out at all and make the dog go out all by himself. Herein lies the problem. Dogs pick up and sense even subtle feelings from their people, and they may begin to associate going out in the rain or cold with bad feelings and not want to do it. If you make them go alone, they may not go all the way out in the yard. They'll hold it to deposit indoors when they come back inside. So think about this. When the weather is good, you go out with the dog feeling happy and saying something like, "Oh boy, outside, let's go outside," and then go potty. "Good go potty, good go potty." This is great, and the dog or pup learns to like going outside. But if the weather's bad and you have an attitude change, get grumpy, and on the way outside grumble something like, "Oh, yuck, it's rainy, it's cold, I don't want to go outside, I hate this, come on, bozo, outside, go potty." Even if you're only thinking this, pretty soon, when the weather is bad, your dog will be thinking, "Yuck, it's rainy, it's cold, I hate this, I don't want to go outside." And you will have created the problem. Now, this is easy to avoid. Keep this in mind when raising puppies or working with sensitive dogs. You can convince most dogs of anything if you have the right sales pitch. So the yuckier the weather is, the jollier you must be. "Oh boy, bozo, it's raining. Oh boy, let's go outside. Oh boy, oh boy." And act like you're going to the party of the year. You can even add a tasty little food reward. It must be given on the spot outside. This can make it even more positive. With medium to large breeds, this is usually only necessary during the house training process. Once the dogs get it, it sticks. But with small breeds and sensitive models, you may need to do a refresher course of outside and jollies in bad weather, and during the fall as the weather changes, to avoid a relapse in house training manners. Elderly and or invalid dogs may require this on a consistent basis. With all dogs, I think it just makes sense to have a wonderful dry-off and warm-up ritual after outings in the rain. Give them something to look forward to. And for seriously rain-sensitive dogs, they make doggy raincoats. Some even come with built-in hoods or umbrellas. Make a canine fashion statement in your neighborhood. And remember to tell your dog friend how fabulous they look. Now, let's talk about cats. They can be weather-sensitive also. Indoor-only models, not a problem. But indoor-outdoor models can have a problem, especially if you're used to a cat that always goes to the bathroom outside. The time may come when the weather is just too bad for them to be willing to go outside. So just in case, maintain an indoor cat box for emergencies. Also, cats that go through cat doors to boxes in garages or basements may not want to use them if it's too cold. Lastly, keep in mind that if your cat friend is older or has developed physical problems, they may feel too vulnerable to go outside, and an indoor cat box may be necessary. Next on my list is a reminder. If you are going to winterize your own car, please remember that antifreeze is extremely toxic and deadly for our animal friends, and it is also extremely attractive to them because it tastes very sweet. So be very careful with it, or better yet, use the non-toxic safe antifreeze. Another general tip, as the weather gets colder, if your animals spend extended periods of time outdoors, make sure they have dry and reasonably warm shelter and fresh, clean water, especially when temperatures drop below freezing. And dogs need regular exercise, even when it's cold or wet. Heck, so do we. So keep it up. Another interesting fact about this time of year is that all bodies, animals as well as humans, need more balanced omega fatty acids during cold weather to maintain good skin and hair coats. The easiest way to be sure your animal friends are getting enough is to add the Missing Link supplement by Designing Health to their food. The need for increased omega 3 and 6 oils in their diet increases even more as we turn the heat on in our houses because this can dry out their hair and skin. So avoid winter skin and coat problems with the Missing Link. Now, the last thing on my list is one of the most important, fleas. Even if your animals have been flea-free this summer, it's still important to pay attention now. As the weather gets colder, so do the fleas. Once the outdoor temperature drops consistently below 50 degrees, they cannot survive, so they'll be looking for a ride indoors. You'll need to prepare so they don't infest your home. If you have a problem with fleas this year and you want to get rid of them, now is the time to get serious. In either case, what you need to do is pretty simple. The best way to prevent an infestation from getting started or to eliminate an ongoing one is a safe, natural product called Fleego. Fleego is a powder that you sprinkle into the carpets and animals' bedding. It dehydrates fleas and their larvae, and it really worked. It's what I use to nip fleas in the bud in my environment. You can pick it up at almost any pet store, and fleas or not, keep Fleego on hand just in case, like I do. Now, if you've got a current flea problem, once the Fleego is down, bathe and or spray your dogs and cats. You can get safe, natural sprays these days, then flea comb regularly until you're sure they are gone. And keep listening to Animal World, because next spring I'll tell you what to do so you don't have a flea problem next year. Well, that takes care of my list for now, but stay tuned because Animal World will be right back.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Now wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got Internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that brings up the instructions you need to stream the show. Well, I got here. We're live in the studio. Micro Bears is here, our production engineer, but Helen and Bill Thayer are snowed in. They're repairing donkey shelter and digging out their driveway. So I came up with another plan for today. This is a first in, I think this is probably a first. So we are going to school. You're going to class right now, and ordinarily I teach these as seminars, but I decided that I'll do a little impromptu class for you guys today, and our first subject is communicating with animals, emphasizing interspecies telepathic and empathetic communication. The second topic will be my thing, which is the human-to-animal transference. And the first thing I want you to know is that with both of these subjects, when I teach a class or a seminar in live at a venue, they are both three-hour seminars. So I'm going to have to congeal a lot of stuff. Mike is going to be my primary student because he doesn't know squat about any of this stuff. But so he can listen, and then if I'm not making myself clear or it's stimulating questions, he can let me know. If I'm not making myself clear to you or it's stimulating questions for you, you can email me at any time during the show today. And the live email address is animalworldlive@hotmail.com. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. I want you to have paper or pen or pencil to write with so you can take notes. I pretty much guarantee you we're not going to have time for phone calls today. If we do, it'll be later in the last hour of the show for your questions and so forth. But I want you to sit with it, work with it,
And call in if you need to today if we have time. But save your questions if we don't have time today, which we probably won't. Remember the first Sunday of February. That is now Behavior Training and Healing Sunday with Martha, and we take calls. So this will give you a couple of weeks here to fool around with this stuff. And then on the first Sunday of February, you can call me, and I can either, A, help you apply these principles and all of this learning to what's going on with you and your animal friends, or answer your questions, clarify things, help you with all of this stuff. So, I think that's a plan. What do you think, Mike? Sound good to you?
Sounds good to me.
All right. We are going to start with communicating with animals. And first, I'm going to tell you that if you don't know, I have been working with animals all of my life. It's what I came to do in this lifetime. And I professionally started working with animals as soon as I was able to get a work permit. And that was at 15 and a half. Been doing it ever since. I have never in my whole life had a job that had anything other to do than working with animals. I've worked in veterinary medicine, but also as a behavior therapist and trainer. Well, I tell you what, I did babysit kids when I was younger. But kids are like animals, too, so sort of all related.
Now, wait a second. Come on.
Well, you know, I can't tell you how many people apply my principles to deal with animals.
I would just say children
to
are
their,
a great
their
joy.
Kids, but also sometimes to their spouses.
Yeah.
I've had people tell me I saved their marriages.
I was just starting to say that children are a great joy. We love children.
We do?
Absolutely. They're our future. We gotta do them good. Take care of them. Nurture them.
Well, that's true. But they can also be a pain in the you-know-what. But so animals can be too. But, you know, it isn't always the animals. At any rate, we'll get into that with a human-to-animal transference. At any rate, I worked with people and their animals mostly in training, worked into behavior therapy and in veterinary medicine for the first 20 years without being able to use these tools effectively. And after 20 years of... because I worked at veterinary hospitals, was a great way to find out about people that are having problems with their animals. Primarily, I worked with dogs. You know, people come in, say, you know, my dog bites the neighbor, pees on the floor, chews up the couch. What should I do? I'd say, bring them down to my obedience class. They would. They'd learn everything they were supposed to learn. Sit down, stay, come, heal. But they'd still go home and bite the neighbor, pee on the floor, or chew up the couch. So training was not solving all the problems, and certainly we weren't able to heal everything. And when it came to dealing with cats, there was no training cats. So after about 20 years, it didn't happen until I got onto my spiritual path, and as a result of all of that, I discovered and honed in on the two biggest missing pieces of the pie in terms of understanding animals, why they do what they do, and then being able to resolve most behavior training and healing issues. And those are the two subjects that we're going to cover today. Now, when it comes to communicating with animals, I mean, most of you probably know, I've talked to animals all of my life. I've always been able to look at an animal and know what it was thinking and feeling and what it was going to do next and all of that sort of stuff. I just thought it was that way for everybody. But it wasn't until 20 years into my professional work that when animal communicators started to surface that I really started thinking about communicating. And then, as you know, or you probably know, I don't work as an animal communicator. I have felt my calling has been to break this stuff down, to make it practical and logical and dirt simple so that everybody could do it. So that's where we're going with this today. Now, animals communicate in a number of different ways. Physical body language, vocal tonalities, they always have, probably always will. But they also communicate telepathically, and that's with pictures in your mind, and empathetically with feelings. Now, and that is the stuff that we're not as familiar with as we need to be. Now, of all the domestic animals we live with, the most emotionally and intuitively sensitive, Mike, are cats and horses. Now, that doesn't mean that other animals aren't sensitive. Some are more than others, and you'll find different breeds of dogs are more sensitive than others and in individuals, and there's always exceptions. There are no absolutes. But cats and horses are the best communicators. Now, when it comes to the telepathic communication, it really is very simple. When you speak a thought or think a thought, there is a picture in your mind. The animals get the pictures, and they feel what you're feeling. Now, it's nothing weird or do-do-do-do sort of stuff. We all truly have the ability to communicate this way. It's just most humans haven't been taught or practiced. Now, it is dirt simple, and it happens whether you believe it or understand it or not. Now, that's the good news and the bad news. Because the telepathic and empathetic communication, listen to this, happens between human and animal, whether you believe it or understand it or not. So when you understand it, it's great. When you don't, because of the glitches and related concepts, it often works against you. So I'm going to take you through as quickly and concisely as I can the glitches and so forth with the communication, and then we're going to go into how to do it. We will first talk about how to communicate to animals, and that is the best place to start. And the truth of it is that with most animals and problems that they have, it is most necessary for you to be able to communicate clearly to them. To solve most problems, it isn't always absolutely necessary for you to be able to hear from them. And hearing, communicating, receiving communication from animals on a telepathic and empathetic level is generally more difficult than sending communication to them. All right. Now, the first major concept is really important. Write this down. Thought directs energy. Energy follows thought. Thought magnifies and intensifies energy. I'm going to say that again. Thought directs energy. Energy follows thought. Thought magnifies and intensifies energy. You know, the books like on the power of positive thinking haven't been written for no good reason. So, if you have problems with your animal friends, the first thing you have to do is look at your thinking and change your thinking. We tend as humans to think about the negative stuff rather than the positive stuff. And this applies to the fact that we tend to describe our animals. Sometimes we're teasing or joking, but they're bad habits and the things that we don't like. Now, you need to know that spirit has a wonderful sense of humor, but energy does not have a sense of humor, no direction of its own, and we direct it with our thoughts. So I can't tell you how many times I pick up a message on my voicemail, and someone is screaming at my voicemail saying, just like the TV show, I've got the cat from hell, or my cat is a psycho nutcase, or some guy might call up and say, my dog is stubborn as a brick. I've got to hit him over with a head to get him to listen. And talking about all the bad things about their animal friends. So I want you to, A, be very careful about what you name your animals. Because the name can have energy to it. Like if you have a fat cat and you want them to lose weight, if you're calling them your little fat butterball, that's going to work against you energetically in taking weight off the cat. Now, I can't tell you how many biting dogs I've met whose name was Killer or Badger. Badger's a nasty animal. I had a call, and this is a classic example of this, on the radio show years ago. And a lady called up and said that she had adopted this beautiful cat. And that when she first adopted the cat was very sweet and loving and snuggly and just everything she wanted in a cat. But didn't take too long before the cat started getting nasty and growling and swiping at her and biting. And she wanted to know what the deal is. So I asked her what the name of the cat was. And she said she came with the name Xena. Well, my gosh, what do you think of when you hear the word Xena? Do you remember, Mike? Xena Warrior Princess.
Not that I ever watched it.
Neither did I.
I want to make that
but
clear.
I didn't either. But I knew the name, sure. Xena Warrior Princess. So, because I was on the radio, and let's experiment a little bit, I said, let's not do anything else. Because I asked her, what do you think of Xena? She did the same thing, Xena Warrior Princess. How, let's change the cat's name. And think of something that's similar sounding to Xena. And let's change the cat's name and see what happens. She called back the next week. She said, well, I did what you said. And I decided to call her instead of Xena. I decided to change her name to Venus. Because it's a similar sounding. And Venus, of course, is the goddess of love. She said, miracle. As soon as I changed the cat's name, started thinking about her differently, her behavior totally changed. And that woman called me back every once in a while for a number of years on the radio show to let me know that it held. And in that case, all we did was change the name. So be careful about what you name your animal. I had a client that came to me with a Dalmatian puppy, couldn't be house trained. And they got the peas under control, but couldn't control the poops. And usually it's the opposite. When you're training a puppy, you can control the poops, but the peas are harder because they're more often. Well, found out what she named the dog. She called her Dirty Dalmatian. Had her change the name of the dog. As soon as she changed the dog's name, house trained like a breeze. But she changed the dog's name to Lulu. Lulu's kind of a little dingy, dingy, dingy. This dog was the dingiest dog you'd ever want to meet. So anyway, I'm just saying, careful what you name them, and careful about what you call them, even if it is in jest. Now, this is not an accusation, standard spiel for everyone I work with, because it tends to be human nature to think negative and then gripe and complain about problems. I call it dumping. So, if you have problems with your animal friend, do you tell bad stories about them? Now, it might be talking to family, friends, coworkers, that sort of thing. You might be saying things like, geez, I love my cat, but every time I pick it up, it growls at me, it scratches me. It's not using the litter box. It's peeing all over the house. And now I got to hire a cat shrink, yada, yada, yada. Okay. Every time you tell the bad stories about your animal friend, you are giving it your mental energy and you help it to continue to happen. Now, it's important for you to tell the truth when if you're working like with me, a behaviorist or a communicator, or you're going to your vet. Tell the truth about what's going on, but don't embellish. Just tell the truth and quit dumping and telling the bad stories to everybody you know. Then, if you have issues and problems with your animal friends, your first homework is to consciously change what you believe to be true and what you expect from your animal friend. And it's like doing mental affirmations. When you think about your animal, when you talk to them or about them, start training yourself to think and speak in terms of what you want, not what you don't want. Like in that cat case, you're thinking about your cat friend. My cat is very loving and gentle, always keeps her claws in her paws. She always uses the litter box, or she always pees and poops outside. She only scratches on her scratching post. The only glitch is keep it in the present tense. She is, he is, they are, rather than will be, or you keep it ahead of you energetically. Now, with the telepathic and empathetic communication, there is no issue with distance. You can communicate telepathically and empathetically with your animal friend if they're sitting in your lap or next to you in the chair. You can do it if they're inside and you're outside. You can do it if they're home and you're at work. You can do it if they're at the boarding kennel and you're on the other side of the earth on vacation. When you think or speak about them, they sense it immediately. Long-distance communication is perhaps the easiest to do. And this comes into play, like, say, for example, maybe you are raising a young puppy and you've confined and you've supervised and you've scheduled and you're getting to the point that you are ready to start giving the pup, the young dog a little more freedom. And so you decide you're going to make a run to the grocery store and not be gone too long. So you're going to leave the dog loose in the house outside of its crate. And you get halfway to the store and you think, oh, geez, I left my shoes out. The dog's probably going to chew up my shoes. Well, you don't realize that when you think that thought, guess where it goes? Zoom, right home to the dog. The dog gets it and says, oh, mom says chew up her shoes. And bingo, they do. So it's very important that you realize that even when you are away from your animals, you think about what you want them to do, not what you don't want them to do. Now, this can also be very important. I had a client once that almost killed their dog by thinking negatively about them when the dog was at the vet having surgery. It was a little Bichon. My client had taken it on my recommendation to a vet friend of mine to be spayed. And it was a very, Mike, it was a bizarre situation. I happened to be home one morning. The phone rang. I happened to answer it. It was my vet friend. He said, Martha, I don't know what's going on, but so-and-so brought me this dog to spay. I've done the surgery. The dog's been spayed. It should be recovering, but all of a sudden, it's gone into total, complete heart failure. I have done everything I possibly can do to save the dog. The dog is dying. I can't deal with it. I don't know what to do. The only thing I could think to do was to call you. I said to my vet friend, I know why you called me. I know what's going on. I will deal with it. I was just going to meditate anyway. I will deal with it. I'll call you back when I'm done. In the meantime, I want you to start seeing the dog waking up. He said, okay. I knew that this woman had lost a previous dog, had died from anesthesia during surgery. I knew she was home worried sick that her dog was going to die. And that alone was causing her dog at the vet to die. I went into meditation. I knew well the hospital because I used to work there. So I could easily, in my meditation, go to the hospital. I talked with the dog. I explained the surgery, why it was there. It was having, his girl parts taken out and that it was all done and that all the dog had to do was wake up and then mom would come and get her and take her home. And then I did some light work, healing work, on the dog. Got done with that. Went back, picked up the phone, called my vet friend. He came right to the phone. He said, Martha, I don't know what you did. I don't want to know what you did. But all of a sudden, bam, the dog came out of heart failure and woke up and it's fine. It was that dramatic. So be very careful. I was doing this seminar at a venue one time, and I got to this point in the talk, and in the back of the room, a woman jumped up out of her chair. It was so funny. Now, before we start these classes, I often ask the people why they're there, what's going on. She had gotten up early. She had talked early as we started the class. She had a little Shih Tzu, and it had a lot of medical problems and health issues. And no matter what she did, the dog didn't get healthy, and it was one problem after another, and yada, yada, yada. Well, at this point in the lecture, she jumped up in her chair, and I said, what is going on? She said, OMG, Martha, I'm killing my dog. And then she said, I'm a hypochondriac and I worry about it all. That's all I did. Well, this was like a 3-part class. When she came back the next week, she said, it totally changed our life. I changed what I'm thinking and what I think about, and I'm starting to communicate with her. The day after the class, the dog started getting better. The dog is now 100% better. All the health problems are resolved. So this can be very dramatic, and this communication can be subtly involved or very, very dramatic. So remember, thought directs energy. Energy follows thought. Thought magnifies and intensifies energy. So remember I told you long-distance telepathic communication is perhaps the easiest to do. We get locked into the things that our animals are creatures of habit, which is very true. Animals, our dogs and cats, for example, are such creatures of habit that their inner time clocks are accurate to within 30 seconds and 24 hours. Do you remember being told when you're raising a puppy to schedule the puppy and always feed at the same time every day, day and day, because they need to be on that schedule and don't be late because they anticipate rituals and all that sort of stuff. And all of that is true. But those instructions fail to give the animal credit for being an intelligent being that is able to be communicated with and to understand. So let's say you have gone off to work and left your dog at home, and before you left, you told your dog, I'm going to work, normal day, I'll be home at regular time, and, you know, to feed you at your regular time. But let's say you go to work, you get stuck at work, you have to work late, or you get stuck in traffic on the way home, and you're sitting in a parking lot on the freeway, and you can't get home on time. Now, most people, when you get in that situation, what are you going to do? You go into fear and worry, and you start thinking, oh, gosh, I'm late. It's going to take me forever to get through this traffic. I'm not going to be home. Dog's going to freak out. You know, he might eliminate all over the house. He might chew up something in frustration. And we start that negative thinking. Well, guess what? Those pictures go home, and the animal starts doing all of that stuff. In order to avoid that, all you need to know is how to communicate telepathically and empathetically with the animal from wherever you are. Now, to communicate long distance, like I said, it's dirt simple. Anyone can do it. Now, the first thing, though, is before you tune into your animal, because as soon as you start thinking about them, they get the pictures and they feel what you're feeling. So if you're stressed out and nervous, before you start to communicate, I want you to do some deep breathing and calm yourself down. Calm yourself down. Then to start with, you may want to close your eyes. And in your mind's eye, you want to imagine your animals. Now, here is the first thing to know. You do not need to be a great creative visualizer to communicate well this way. You do not need to be a great creative visualizer. You do need to focus your mind on what you're saying. Now, Mike, I'm sure you understand this is true. Most people, when they are speaking, their left brain is busy thinking of what they're going to say next.
That's the way it works.
Yeah. You have to change that. You must focus your mind on what you're actually speaking at the moment and then imagine it in your mind. And even if you can't really see it good, you're just imagining in your mind, you're focusing on what you're saying, the pictures will get through to your animal. Now, then you explain what's going on. I'll give you an example. I was living at my farm. I had my pack of Wolf Odies, my Arctic Wolf, Coyote, and Shepherd dogs. I never left them out while I was gone. They were shut in the house with water, a lot of water, and I had been gone for a very long day. Well, I had that day of driving home, and the freeways were parking lots, and I was on 405, and it was a parking lot. I was not moving, and I had to do a long way to get home. So instead of going into the negative thinking and thinking, oh, boy, you know, the dogs always tank on the water. They're going to have to pee or poop, and the house is going to be a mess. Going to wonder why I didn't do any of that. I just calmed myself down. I just closed my eye. I just imagined my Wolf Odies in my mind. I said, hey, guys, it's Mom. I'm on my way home, but I'm stuck in major traffic. Now, when I said that, they wouldn't necessarily understand that language. So I'm seeing myself in the car, and I'm seeing all the cars around me and me not being able to move. I said, I am stuck in traffic. I'm going very, very slowly. Ooh, something just changed. I'm going very, very slowly. So I see that in my mind. Then I tell him I've got to go all the way up 405, and I'm imagining this in my mind. And then I've got to do all the way out 522, and then I've got to do 522, Highway 2, and then I'll be on our road, and then I'll be home. It's going to take me some time to get there. And then I said, until I get there, I want you to hold it. And when I said hold it, I'm meaning holding their bladder and bowels. So when I said hold it, this is where the empathetic communication comes in, because they can feel what you're feeling. When I said I want you to hold it, I squeezed like I was holding, you know, like I had to go to the bathroom and I was squeezing my bladder and bowels, so they'd get that feeling. So I said, I want you to hold it. And then I said, if you feel like you have to go and you just can't help it, I imagined that feeling. I said, I want you to go in the dog room and pee or poop on the hard linoleum smooth floor. It's okay in there. I'll keep you posted as to where I am in the drive, and as soon as I get home, I'll let you out. You can do your business outside, and then I'll feed you. So that's all I did. Now, then I made all the drive, took a long time for me to get through all that traffic, get all the way home. When I got home, it was quite interesting. Instead of a panicked or upset pack of Wafoties, I walked in the house. They were all calm. They all said, hi, how are you? I looked around the house. There was no pee. There was no poop. Everything was clean. When I went into the dog room, I looked. Their water, which they had normally would have drunk the whole bowl, Mike, was still three quarters full. They hadn't tanked up in the afternoon like they normally would. Okay. And then when I said, okay, let's go out, they sat there and said, hey, time. I'm tapping my watch. They're saying, hey, we don't have to go, but it's late. We're hungry. Feed us. Okay. So, you know, we had dinner and da 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 da. But that's how simple that can work. Now, when, is that clear? Got that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the long-distance communication I use, like if your animal is away from you, you use it when they're at the groomer or at the vet, whatever. The best time to use this, I call it sending mental postcards. If you are going to travel, how many animals get upset when their owners leave and have had bad experiences when you've been gone? That's because of all the negative thinking and the fear and the worry, and we try to hide it from them, take them, put them outside and pack when they can't see you and all that sort of stuff. I have a great story to tell you about that, but I want to make sure that I get through all the material, so I won't. But explain to your animals once you know how to communicate. As soon as you know you're going to go on a vacation, you're going to go on a trip, be gone. You're going to start explaining it to your animals. And you can't say, I'm going to be gone for a day or a week or a month. They don't necessarily understand our time frame. You speak to them in terms of lights and darks, days and nights, and you imagine that in your mind. But you're going to explain to them where you're going and why, what you're going to be doing. And then remember, they're like little kids, and their biggest concern is, how's it going to affect me? How's it going to work for me? So what you're going to do is tell them Aunt Susie's going to be living here while I'm gone. She'll feed you. She'll walk you, yada, yada, yada. Or if you're dealing with cats, Aunt Susie will come in the morning and feed you and clean your boxes. We'll come back in the evening and feed and clean your boxes. Or you're going to go to the doggy camp or hotel, and this is going to happen, that. But explain everything to them. And then when you're gone every day, I call it sending mental postcards. And when you're relaxed and calm, you close your eyes, you know, and send a mental postcard. Hi, kids. I'm sitting in a beach chair under a palm tree. I'm drinking a Mai Tai. Sun's out. It's lovely. I'm going to swim another night. Then I'm going to play tennis another night. Then I'm going to play golf another night. Then I'm going to da-da-da-da-da. Then I'm going to pack up, put it on the plane, fly home, I'll come and pick you up, or I'll come home to you. Da, da, da. While I'm gone, do this and this and this, all the positive stuff. It makes a huge difference if you send mental postcards. Okay, all of that clear?
Are you asking me? Yes.
Yeah, well, there's nobody else around here to ask.
Well, I thought you may have been addressing our audience.
Well, them too, that, but that's you're the voice. Sure. Yep. You're the voice of the audience. Okay, now, when you're with your animals, four levels of communication going on. Physical body language, vocal tonalities, they feel what you feel, and they get the pictures in your mind. Now, physical body language, very important for both dogs and cats. It's the first thing they have to key off of. But since we're focusing on the telepathic and empathetic communications, we're not going to go into those details. I will bring up those details as they apply to different behavior and training issues, you know, on first Sundays of the month when we're doing that kind of stuff. Now, vocal tonalities, still very important. You can let your animals know whether you're pleased or displeased by the tone of your voice. But they also are capable of learning vocabulary. And dogs, for example, we know from research, are capable of learning hundreds of word vocabularies. And remember I told you the most emotionally and intuitively sensitive are cats and horses? Many cats and horses, for whatever reason, I don't know why, sometimes I just know these things, they understand the language. With dogs, often they understand only the language they've heard or been familiar with. So needed more explanation. But nonetheless, all can be communicated with pictures and telepathic with pictures and empathetically with feelings. Now, the normal flow of energy is from human to animal. This also applies from adult human to child human, but from human to animal. And I'm talking energetically now. And that's physical as well as emotional feelings. That's stress, that's agitation, nervousness, that's anger, that's fear. So emotional and physical energy. Your energy field is 6 to 8 feet in diameter. So if your animal friend is within 3 to 4 feet of you on any side, they're getting a big hit of what you're feeling emotionally and physically. Now, your energy field doesn't just stop there. It radiates out, but it gets weaker as it goes. So if you're an animal's in your energy field, when you feel something, boom, they feel it. If they're away from you a distance, it takes a while for the feeling to get there. Does that make sense, Mike?
It does.
Okay. All right. Now, so a lot of people get their animals in trouble. For example, you got a dog that's not familiar with children, or maybe, and anything new or different to dogs can be scary. But say you got a dog, you know, on a leash, you're standing on the corner, here comes a kid on rollerblades zooming towards you. If you tense up and get nervous, if you think in your mind, oh, geez, here comes a kid on rollerblades, my dog doesn't like kids and is moving really fast, he might bite him. Well, the dog picks up your anxiety, your fear. They feel it, but they don't know it necessarily comes from you. They just wonder, what am I being warned about that I'm afraid of? And then in your mind, oh, it's that kid moving, bite him. And so they do. And a lot of times, by our own thinking and feeling, we set the stage for our failure and behavior in our animals. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Body language, emotion, you bet.
Okay.
It's all easily conveyed.
All right. Now, for the sake of time here, we are going to talk about how to do the telepathic communication. However, it is time that we need. It's a great place to break here. We're going to take time to take care of our advertisers and sponsors, because remember, without them, I can't do these kind of classes. So need you to pay attention, support them, thank them. And then when we continue, we will do a quick current events. There's some interesting things on new things on current events, but I'll get through that as quickly as possible, and we'll get right back into the communication. So stay with us. Animal World continues, current events, and then more communicating with animals straight ahead, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural foods, even if you home-cook for your animal friends, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff? Well, that's why Designing Health created Missing Link. They start with human-grade, all-whole-natural raw food sources. They've perfected a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. It comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. You keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it, mix up your animal friend's food, add in Missing Link, and voila! You've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3 and 6 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, the fiber. Missing Link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problem in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats, and there is a Missing Link formula for dogs, one for cats, a vegetarian formula you can feed to both your dogs and cats, and there's Missing Link with glucosamine for connective tissue and joint support in a dog and horse formula. There's also a bird formula. So I want you to ask for the Missing Link wherever you shop for premium health, premium pet supplies, or ask your vet, or go directly to Designing Health. You can call them at 1-800-774-7387 or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Learn animal massage and check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage's exciting new Vashon Island location. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including massage for canines, small and large animal certification, and the exciting new manual ligament therapy series. Go to nwsam.com for registration details and to enroll online. For more information, call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 206-463-1425. That's 206-463-1425. Or check them out on Facebook.
Does your dog experience bad breath or gas? Does your cat spit up hairballs? Try Optigest. Optigest is a natural formula of digestive enzymes and the prebiotic FOS. Even pets with a healthy diet can experience digestive upset due to diet change, separation, or the normal aging process. Optigest works fast and has no inactive ingredients. Optigest supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Ask for Optigest at your natural pet store today.
Robin Alexis is offering a limited number of beautiful Golden Healer Lemurian crystals. These crystals are used by healers for their ability to magnify the flow of vital life force throughout the body, to promote healing, to reduce fear and anxiety, to induce a state of deep relaxation, and accelerate tissue healing. These crystals are also powerfully energized to activate the crown and solar plexus chakras, which assists you to obtain a more conscious connection to spirit. Golden Healer Lemurian crystals are a marvelous tool for doing any kind of energy work, meditation, or healing. In addition, these special crystals have been blessed by Robin Alexis at sacred sites at Mount Shasta. You can purchase these crystals for $22.95 from Mystic Store at robinalexis.com. Or email Bob at robinalexis.com for details. There is only a limited supply of these Lemurian crystals, so they're offered at a first-come, first-served basis.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Forget their space and come check out our space on the web, 1150kknw.com, and find out about Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all. Martha Norwalk, and thank you for spending your Sunday morning with me here on Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And my guests are snowed in today, so I'm doing an impromptu class. We will get back to communicating with animals and then head on into the human-to-animal transference. But first, we need to cover the bases and take care of current events. Okey-dokey. Speaking of entertainment, what do we got going here? Now, this is an interesting one. This came from Peg and Olympia. Not necessarily entertainment, but education, in case you're interested. And I think actually designed for lawyers and law students. But it's Animal Law Section Presents Saving Endangered Wildlife in Our Warming World. That's going to be next week, Thursday, January 26th. That's from 11:30 to 12:30 at the Safeco Plaza in Seattle. If you're not a member of the Animal Law Section or a law student, it costs $25. And there's a long registration link that I can't read to you, but we do have it posted on current events. So if you go to MarthaNorwalk.com, click on current events, there is a link for registration if you might be interested in that. Now, this is another interesting one. The Federation of Animal Care and Control Agencies presents a compassion fatigue workshop. Now, they're talking about people that care for animals, you know, rescuers, shelter operators, sanctuaries, that kind of thing. There might be other reasons, but Compassion Fatigue Workshop. Now, this is going to be on Monday, February 13th. It's from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and it's at Silver Hall in Everett. If you're a member of the Federation, it's $45. If you're not, it's $55. Now, to register, you go to www.wafederation.com and click on Upcoming Events. Now, remember Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife's Carilion Bear Dog Cash recently blew out his ACL and had surgery to the tune of $6,000. Well, if you saw the recent news reports during the snow, apparently his other knee is also bad and needs the surgery. So WDFW really needs help paying the bills. And so we have a address and link. Martha Jordan is handling the fundraising. And that information is all on MarthaNorwalk.com, current events. Free spay neuter for pit bulls and pit mixes at NOAA in Stanwood. The last date is Wednesday, January 25th. You got to qualify income below 45K, but that's pretty lenient. You need to make appointments by calling 360-629-7055. Mark your calendars for Positive Futures. Positive Futures is the name of the event. It's the annual fundraising event for Positive Alliance Rescue Group. It will be on Saturday, March 24th from 5 to 8 p.m. on Westlake in Seattle. $30 before March 1st and $40 thereafter. More information at www.positivealliance. That's P-A-W-S, positivealliance.org. I would imagine that Meow Cat Rescue in Kirkland still has their 2012 calendars available. Give them a call at 425-822-6369 if you're interested in that. Here's a hot new deal. Free small critter adoptions at Seattle Humane Society for the month of January. All adoption fees waived on small critters like guinea pigs, rabbits, hamsters, and pet rats. www.seattlehumane.org for more info there. Northwest Stream Center up in Everett. Man, they have good programs. Here's another one. Next week, this is White Birds of Winter are here from Canada now. And this will be on Thursday, January 26th. Trumpeter Swan Society's Martha Jordan, yes, same Martha Jordan that does the Carilion Bear Dogs fundraising, she will be presenting a lecture and spectacular slideshow about these magnificent birds. $5 or $7, depending on whether or not you belong to the Stream Center. You do need to register, 425-316-8592. And if you've ever heard Martha Jordan on the shore, on this show, talking about, you know, the swans and all that sort of stuff, I mean, she is the most knowledgeable wildlife biologist and so good at all of this stuff. So check it out. All right, believe it or not, we're almost at the end of January, and it will be the last Sunday of the month next Sunday, and we took December off because the last Sunday of the month was Christmas, if you recall. So we have some catching up to do, and we will catch up with the birds up at Mollywood Avian Sanctuary in Bellingham, the wildlife at Sarvey Wildlife Care Center in Arlington, the horses at All Breed Equine Rescue in Marysville, and I've got an open slot. I don't know who I'm going to plug into that yet. Snow's kind of got me. But we'll have something. But anyway, we'll find out, you know, with all the snow and the freezing temperatures and the winds and all this kind of stuff, we'll find out how all the animals are doing. And, boy, in that December 08, Sarvey just got buried. And they lost a lot. Their eagle, Freedom, lost her outside flight. And all the eagles did, and they rebuilt all of that stuff. So I haven't talked to them. I don't know. We'll find out if the rebuilt flight, eagle flights and so forth, held up in this snowstorm and all of that. And how everybody's doing, we'll find out what we can do to help. So be sure and be here next week for winter updates with all of our shelters and rescues. And remember, Cavalia, at Marymore, Wednesdays through mid-February. Oh, spectacular show. I'm hoping that I get to do it. So I think that covers everything. Anything you can think of?
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some interesting, different stuff on current events this week. And if you missed any of the details or need more stuff, more details on any of those events, www.marthanorwalk.com and click on current events and all that stuff will come up for you. So there you go.
And I should point out we're still looking for some assistance.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I forgot to write it down. I remembered driving in and I forgot again. So, you know, CRS. Anyway, yes, we are still looking for an Animal World call screener. We've had some applicants, but they don't have transportation, wanted to do it from home. Well, you can't screen calls from home.
Kind of hard to do.
Yeah.
But we appreciate the effort.
We absolutely appreciate the effort. But you have to be able to be in the studio here to answer the phone. Now, it's not an every Sunday deal, because remember the third Sunday of the month is Kevin and Kim, and they screen their calls because Julie comes and does that. So they're covered. And not like today, we're not taking calls. And on shelter rescue sanctuaries, I can arrange for them to call us. And now it doesn't mean we wouldn't like to have a call screener in to just take care of random stuff. We don't have to. So we're real flexible. But there are some days that, like the second, the first Sunday of the month when I do behavior stuff, that we'd really like to have a call screener. So we can be real flexible. At the moment, it is a volunteer position. So you volunteer to be here, but you get to be behind the scenes with us and all and part of the
Animal World
family.
It's a lot of fun. You get to see kind of behind the scenes what goes on and putting a radio show together. You get to talk to a lot of our really wonderful listeners who call in on a regular or semi-infrequently basis.
Yeah.
But
we'll even turn on your microphone, as you know, and call screeners, talk on the air, and then that gives me somebody else to tease and beat up on besides Mike.
Yeah. You know,
so
my bruises are just now starting to heal, so...
I need somebody else.
It'd be nice to have somebody. Share the wealth. Share the pain.
Yeah. So now, on the other hand, if you have a business, a product, or a service that is in line with our belief system here and philosophy, that we would be able to trade for advertising on the show. So that is an option as well. So if you are interested in call screening for Animal World, then the best thing to do is to call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Or you can go to the Animal World website, Martha Norwalk, NORWALK.com. Click on Contact Martha. That will send an email to my home office computer. If you send an email to our live email address, well, we only check that during the show, so I won't get it during the week. So address your own email program to Martha Light, LIGHT, at AOL.com. Martha Light at AOL.com for a call screening position, either trade for advertising or volunteer. But we're real flexible, and it doesn't have to be every Sunday. So what a deal, huh?
Yeah, okay. I'd do it, but unfortunately, I need to.
Well,
over here.
You get to do it anyway.
That's
if
true.
There isn't anybody else here.
That's true.
So
help me.
Yeah. Mike needs help.
Yeah.
So that's the deal, and hopefully we'll hear from you. But don't bother to check in and say, hey, can I do it from home? Because the answer is nope, you can't do that. You have to be in the studio. But that's the fun part. And what thing to do on Sunday morning than to be teased and bugged by me? Or to chime in, you know?
I know. I look forward to it.
Well, yeah, I look forward to doing it. So there we go. All right. Well, looks like we've wrapped up the second hour of Animal World. We're going to turn this puppy right around. So stay right where you are. When we come back, I'm going to pick up with communicating with animals, and then we'll go into the human-to-animal transference and get you guys educated. So stay with me. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.